Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
The ball hit deep, way back! Deep to the back!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ball.
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the White Sox Talk Podcast, coming to you from Sox Fest 2019, brought to you, as always, by Wintrust Community Bank. Chuck Garfine here with Ryan McGuffey. Yonder Alonso is here. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
No problem.
I got to start by asking you about your close friend, your amigo. Everyone's talking about him, John Jay.
John Jay.
Yeah.
That's a great question. What would you like to know about him?
Well, we have admired him from afar.
Yeah.
From
so
like same here.
So I was in Cuba three years ago. I went to Cuba with Major League Baseball and Jose Abreu.
Gotcha.
And John Jay was on the trip.
Yep.
And we were at the bar one night just having a cocktail with his wife, and he said, if you could ever figure out a way, it was before they had the twins. They had twins, right?
Yep.
But if you could ever figure out a way to get me to Chicago, we are in. Well, ironically, he ended up on the north side of town, but I was never thinking north side of town, but here he is. The formula works. I can't wait to tell him that. But, what is it like for a guy like you who's grown up with him since high school, you've been teammates, to actually have the opportunity to play together? Yeah. In Chicago, in the big
leagues. You know, me and John go back way even farther than college baseball. We actually played in the same academy when we were young, in the 12s and 13s and things like that, 13 and 14. And then high school came around and we played in the same summer team. We go way back. We're talking about a guy that talked to my wedding. Right.
What did he say at your wedding?
You know, he was good.
We're gonna play for the White Sox one day.
Yeah, he was good, and obviously he talked a lot. You know, very very close things and personal things, but it was good. You know, and so me and Jay go way back, like forever, right? And then here we are. We played in college together. So, little league, high school, college, and then pro ball. Never played together. We worked out together. Never played together, and then here we are. Playing together here. So
is he just trying to follow in your footsteps?
I don't know.
Well, how did it?
I would think so.
Well, you were traded here.
Yep.
Okay. Right.
How did you find out from John? I'm assuming that's how you found out.
You know, I found out through the organization here, and I was thrilled, you know, about it. And then, obviously, me and Jay talked and stuff like that. And then he told me what was going on afterwards, like hours later, right? And then, it happened fast. Here we are. And, really excited. I know he's really excited. He couldn't make it today. He actually had a previous things he had to go attend prior to all this.
Yeah.
So, he's super excited about it.
When you're so close to – guys, family, man, whether it's Manny Machado or John Jay, could you talk about how you guys like to keep some of that stuff private and let business take care of itself and not let it interrupt friendship and family?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I just think this whole thing has been obviously crazy for everybody in the family. But we're humans first. You know, we have a family. A family is first. obviously he's my brother-in-law, that's first. John Jay being, you know, one of my best friends, that's first. It's life, right? So I'm like, dude, you know, it's hard to get involved in things like that where, to be honest, it's your decision. It's not really, right, you know, mine or anything like that. Do I want them all to play here? Yeah. No, who wouldn't, right? Would there be a surprise? Maybe. But again, we're here to enjoy each other's company, protect each other, and obviously be there for one another through the goods and the bads. And other than that, just, you know, go get it and have some fun.
I'm trying to imagine this. You guys, all three of you, Manny, mm-hmm, John, and you all work out together, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to imagine the first time you guys worked out after you became a member of the White Sox, John had become a member of the White Sox, and there's Manny.
So, fun, cool story. When John became a member of the White Sox, he actually was on the phone when he said, all right, let's get this done, right? And it was him and his wife and his twins, and it was me and my wife and my two kids, and we were just walking, and we went to a park to go take our his twins and my son. So we're here, like, on our way to the park, you know, and here he is having a pretty serious conversation, and he's just, you know, strolling around his kids. And next thing you know, we're like, let's hug it out, man. Like, you're going to be my teammate. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then obviously we called Manny and let him know, and let obviously his close family members and friends, and called a few buddies of mine and let them know as well. So we were all super pumped.
When earlier today you said, this is a quote from you, about being acquired here. Young, exciting, they're just so ready to go, just ready to go after it. Mm-hmm. As a veteran player like yourself, when you were traded from a division champion in Cleveland to come here for a bunch of guys who are either here and eager, or you know, Eloy Jimenez will be here very shortly, what does that do to fuel you at this stage of your career?
Here's the thing about that question when I was asked that, it was two different sides of this whole story, right? In April, I saw them, and you see them throughout the year, and then I saw the ending part of September. And you see a really, like, Monday through Friday change. And we're all here waiting for the weekend. Yeah. The weekend's now, you know? And, like, Saturday, Sunday's coming. And it's coming now, right? The fun people that are going to play in the concerts are coming, and they're here, and it's going to happen. So it's like, I want to go out on the weekend and have fun, so I want to join it, you know. Saturday and Sunday's here, so, and these are the players that we have, and I'm just like, man, you see, I saw such a huge difference of play from Monday through Friday and from April to September that I'm like, this is nice. So when I got traded over here, I was like, yeah, hell yeah. You know, why not? Like, I'm really excited about that because I saw a huge difference of play and a lot of growth on with these guys, and I was, like, super excited about it.
What's it like? I don't think a lot of fans think about this, but you guys know what other organizations do, what's coming, what's been talked about, how they're perceived in the game.
Right.
So when you're in Cleveland, what are you taking from other teammates about what people are saying about, oh, God, the White Sox are coming, the White Sox are coming? Do you guys recognize that?
You know, I think that it's not so much, like, I can talk to, like, Moncada or, you know, Brady or anything
but
about
somebody
that.
On the
sure,
Indians.
We can talk about it, but I think it's more – it's 2019.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. We're on our phone. You know, everything is – you can get everybody's, you know – Everything, all their information is at hand, you know. So whether that guy had a headache on a Friday night or not, you know, you can see everything. And you get to realize who these guys are, you know. And then, like, well, obviously then you get a lot of guys from Miami who work out in Miami, or guys that are just coming down from Miami and working out. And then you start feeling and seeing what they got. You play for the White Sox. Damn, you're pretty good. Excuse me. I do not want to say that. But you're pretty good, you know. And next thing you know, like, all right, what's going on with the White Sox? And then you post up, hey, what's going on with the White Sox? Boom, there it is in your face. You get to see everything. You're like, wow, these guys are pretty good. And that's how you see it, right? And then you see them in season or spring training, right? And you get to see those guys, and you're like, these guys are legit. So that's kind of like how you start realizing what's going on. And, you know, MLB Network does a great job as well. And, you know, boosting all the teams, so it's nice.
Well, the White Sox are obviously chasing the Indians. You were on the Indians last year. Do you feel like this team, and now granted, I know you haven't, you know, had a spring training yet with this team, but you're learning them, you've looked them up. Is this a team that could be ready to surpass the Indians in 2019, or is that too early at this point?
You know, I think we're a team that we can surprise a lot of people. I think last year was kind of that learning, what you may call as learning stage, which I really don't buy into the learning stage of it. I feel it's the big leagues, you know, and you only learn like today, and then tomorrow you can't make that mistake, right? And then you make another mistake, and then you just can't make that mistake again, and then the next day is the next day, right? So I think this year, I think all these guys are hungry and they're like ready to prove and got 1 year or 2 years or 3 years under their belt, and they're like ready. You're like, all right, here we go. Right, and I see that, and I see the, when I talk to these guys, I see that hunger and that fire, kind of like that want to, like, now I know I'm here and I belong, and all right, let's go do it now, kind of like the success they had in the minor leagues. So we'll see.
You've played 816 games at first base. You've played 7 games at DH. You have a first baseman in Jose Abreu that's in a splitzer, primarily the same. How does that work for a guy like you that's coming into an organization knowing that Jose's here and he started an All-Star game, yet he could probably, to help his feet and his legs, maybe DH would help him too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fine. I've talked to Ricky and Abreu, obviously, as well. And we've been very, really good about communicating and what's going on. I mean, I don't think it matters if he goes and plays, you know, 5 days and I go and play so many days at DH, or if I play 5 days and he'll go and play 2 days throughout the week. Doesn't matter, you know, at the end of the day, I think we all want to do the same thing, and that's when we're in our careers. I would think right now that, you know, we want to win. Nothing else matters. Like, let's go win, you know, and if it is what it is, that's what it is. So it doesn't really matter. I know he feels the same way, I feel the same way, so just go play.
You guys have been spending a lot of time with each other, I hear. So how has that been working out? Because you're both in Miami.
Yeah,
so what do you guys do?
He came to my batting cage the other day, and we talked, and we hit, and we hung out, and, you know, just kicked it and talked hitting, a lot of hitting. I love to talk hitting. So does he. And talked about life and, you know, what's going on. And other than that, a little bit about Manny. And then other than that, we just went ahead and hung out. Yeah.
What do you think the Sox chances are of getting him? What do you think?
Probably
I gotta ask the question.
As much of a chance that you feel is the same. I feel the same way. I feel.
You want to call him?
Is that fair?
Yeah, it's okay. You want to call him?
No, I don't want to call him. No, we've been texting. That's him right there. We've been texting, and
he's wondering about Sox Fest. He's like, hey, how's the fest?
Yeah.
You know, I FaceTimed earlier when we got introduced. So I was able to me and Moncada and Abreu, we talked and said hello. He was training, so we were just hanging out. I feel, who knows?
That's a tough decision. I understand what he's going through. Actually, no, I do not understand what he's going through.
Everybody's like,
Chuck
come
has,
on, man.
Yeah, Chuck, it, he
Let's
gets
go.
Too.
Let's go what?
I'm like, say something. Yeah, I know, man.
Is it tough for you to be here
and
take these questions?
I don't know. I think it's not tough. I don't know. I don't care much about answering. It's not a big problem for me to answer them. I just think today is a day where we need to respect my teammates, right? And the guys and the good that we have here. And I think, gosh, like, I'm telling you, you guys will get spoiled and seeing good baseball, and I think you should appreciate that. Like, what's wrong with that? You know, what's wrong with that? Like, you're drinking healthy water, and you're, like, you know? Good baseball. Like, there ain't nothing about that. Every other day or every day getting a W, like, come on, man. Just enjoy what's happening here, the festivities that are happening here, and then if obviously that happens, that's just obviously the cake, and I would think, because he's such a good player, but we have a lot of good here, and I think we should really worry and focus our attention on so much good we have here, because obviously our fan base is very, very good, and our players are very, very good, and I think we're going to see definitely a different change in all this. not only this year but going forward. So, yeah, that's where I stand on that.
You hear about makeup and clubhouse guys, and a fan base can't really define that in a way. You know, they're not in the clubhouse every day, but whether it's John, yourself, Ivan Nova, Kelvin Herrera, to a man, Rick has gone out and mentioned makeup and clubhouse factor and everybody that he's acquired this offseason. How important is that just in a veteran clubhouse? How important is it in a young clubhouse?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like – that holds the bones together, you know, and it's they're like the joints to a body. It's huge, right? And we all understand, obviously, the human psychology of what joints are to a human. So that's how big it is. You know, it would definitely – hold you accountable and obviously prepare you every single day to play the game the right way and be prepared the right way. And mentally, you're going to go through some ups and downs. You just don't want it to be a rocky mountain, you know, going really down and really up. You want to just continue to climb, and there's going to be some tough ones, there's going to be some good ones, but we would think that we're going to be heading into the right direction, and then from there on out, just making sure everybody's ready to play every single night and giving it all they got.
When you were in San Diego, you had a coach named Rick
Buddy
Renteria.
Black. Rick Renteria. Yeah, Buddy Black was my manager.
Right,
Rick Renteria was my bench coach. So I was 22 years old. I was a baby, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny. I get to see, like, these 22-year-olds right now, and I'm like, Kopech. Is it Kopech?
Kopech.
Yep.
Right? Kopech. I just met him. And I'm like, how old are you, man? He's like, oh, I'm 22. I'm like, wow. That's nice. How do you wake up in the morning? He's like, I feel great. I bet.
Yeah.
Welcome to older age, Yonder.
I feel great, but I can only imagine, like, my dad, right? So, yeah. So, yeah, but I was young. But this guy, man, Rick, he was great for me. He taught me about, you know, life, preparation, mental toughness, and go out there and compete. So it's nice to – obviously, I was a 22-year-old and didn't even know any of that. And I was like, I'm in the big leagues just to look good, and I play the game good, and I can hit a fastball pretty good, and I have some skills, but didn't understand all that. And here I am, well, you know, almost 10 years later, and here I see him again.
You've been in the organization for roughly a month, yet you feel like – it feels like you're very comfortable and almost at home. You feel very calm, cool, and like this is not your first Sox Fest. That Yonder Alonso is supposed to be here in Chicago with these fans right now.
Yeah, cool fans. I love it.
Nice. You feel comfortable, though, in the organization?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the White Sox were on me since college. So I thought I was actually going to get drafted by the White Sox. Small story on that. I was on my junior year at Miami, and I was like, you know, the White Sox were deep on me, and I was like, all right, here we go. I'm gonna be a White Sox. And I had told, like, my parents, and I get, like, goosebumps saying the story every time, but I had told my dad and mom, like, you know, my dad loved Michael Jordan, and he loved the Bulls, and he was like, this is it, right? Loved Frank Thomas and Paul Konerko, and during those days, El Duque, and, like, you know, all these Cuban guys that came up, and were Cuban, and, you know, the White Sox were, like, the thing, right? And we were set, like, it's the White Sox. So here we are, like, watching the draft, and next thing you know, the pick before the White Sox were the Reds, and they picked me. And ooh. I was like, what? Like, no sense at all. Like, who's the manager?
Oh,
you know?
Man.
And, yeah, that was it. That was it. Just like that. And I was the Reds, and, you know, then I would come here to play here, and I was like, this could have been it. You know? And, yeah. Then,
when did you find out they were interested in acquiring you? How did that come about?
In college or?
No. I mean, because years passed for this offseason.
No, I did not know anything. I did not know anything. Me, my wife, my dad and mom, my sister and Manny were having dinner. And I get a call from Chris Antonetti. And here we are from Cleveland. And he's like, hey, you know, you had just been traded and this and that. And, you know, we had a talk, and he hadn't told me the team yet. And I'm like, all right, so what team am I going to? And he goes, well, you're going to the White Sox. And I'm like, what? Like, no way. And then, you know, next thing I know, I told them, like, I'm going to the White Sox. And, yeah, that was it.
What was Manny's reaction?
He was pumped. And my sister was pumped. And
of course.
Yeah, everybody was super happy about it. They were like, no way.
It's funny how that went full circle on you. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, it went full circle for sure. And then I think, like, what is it, like a week later, they came here. So, yeah, it was, it's been pretty crazy offseason.
Speaking of the Reds, you think they'd like to have this one back? So, Matt Latos, and this is not to crap on Matt Latos, but he did have a cup of coffee here for the White Sox. But you were part of a kind of a big trade. If you look at the names involved in the Matt Latos trade to San Diego, listen.
They're all all-stars.
Yonder Alonso, Edison Volquez, Yasmani Grandal, and Brad Boxberger to San Diego for Matt Latos.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Did someone get fired for that trade? Yeah. There's been turnover in Cincinnati.
Well, you know, to their credit, they were, during that time, they were winning a lot of ball games.
Man. Yeah,
and Latos was really good.
They had Bronson Arroyo, Cueto. They had Latos.
Yep.
And, you know, they had Mike Leake. They had some players there that were really good. And they were winning ball games. They were winning 95 games a year.
Hey, look.
I thought that window was there. You know, mm-hmm. They had a lot of all-stars, Brandon Phillips and Joey and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, they were winning, you know.
There's a lot of excitement about Eloy Jimenez.
Oh, yeah.
What do you know about him? Have you had a chance to speak with him?
Yeah, I've seen his numbers, and I've done my homework on him.
Oh, really?
Man, nice. Yeah. It's like a Rolls Royce, just like.
So he said yesterday that.
So nice. A swing, man.
Yeah, the swing.
Like, bah!
It almost looks effortless. It's like, does that.
It's nice.
Does that.
I'm watching him hit batting practice.
You know what?
Hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do.
It's very
hard. It looks so effortless to him.
He's such a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. He's just so, like, humble. Just nothing but the best. Just stay healthy and go play and ball out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These veterans you guys have who are coming here, I just like this group of guys. You, Jay, Nova.
Yeah, I don't really know Nova or the rest of the clan that's coming, but I do know that I've heard from other guys that they're amazing, you know, A-plus type of guys. So I'm excited, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, me and Jay and whoever else is coming, it's going to be nice. But, I mean, just the group now is just fun guys. So I'm excited.
One quick question about what could be coming. Is it it's kind of gotten nauseating to a fan base trying to figure out when and where and how long. But there's 100 guys that are impacted by.
I think there's more.
So there's more than 100 guys impacted by what's going on in free agency. And it's not the first year of this.
Right.
Is in the business aspect that you guys sit in, how concerning is that?
I mean, I think it's a really good question. Because as one player, right, we have one voice, but then there's a lot of us. And as a union, we got to be together and obviously understand the power that we all have in this. But no question, I think the first year of free agency, which was my class, was strange and weird. In some ways. And then this second time around, it's been strange and weird, same way. So at some point you're here like, all right, let's look at the numbers and you do your homework and you see what's going on. It's like the game is $11 billion industry, right? And then the players are, they're not getting the deserving part and the fairness of the fans, which they pay a premium ticket. But yet, like, are you really getting the same players or the group A-plus guys that are in the big leagues? I don't know. So you would want these guys to be fair and be like, we're putting prime product out there, which I do believe we still get on a nightly basis. But it's just there's a lot of guys out there that still can play, and yet they're getting kind of like the short change of things, and it's hard.
Are you sensing an angst out there amongst
what
players? An angst, like a concern?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I can't speak for other players.
Right.
I feel like there's a lot of really good players.
Yeah.
Right? And I think right now we're seeing there's 150-plus players that are deserving of continuing to play. because they're having good numbers, right? Like, they're not having bad numbers where you're just like, all right, you know, you're not playing. But they're having really good numbers, and they're still in their what I consider prime years of their careers, and they're there at home, like, without a job or something like that. I mean, I think that's super weird,
yeah.
You know? And the game is what it is right now, and I'm here like, you know, you're going to get some action if you sign these players and really, you know, make the game even more than what it is. And I don't know, it's just weird. I used to go watch guys like when I was younger,
yeah,
and try to like sneak into Marlins Park, which is Pro Player Stadium, and the 12 other names it had, and sneak in just to go watch like whoever.
Bobby Bonilla, I don't know, who was
I used to go watch like Kevin Millar.
Yeah,
because I thought he was Mike a stud Lowe. With like the stash and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I want to go watch that guy, you know, or like
you snuck in. Did you ever get caught?
I got caught once, and they didn't arrest me because I was too young. So I used to have my buddies, kind of like the Orange Bowl days. I'm from Miami, so the Orange Bowl,
yep,
right, which is not there anymore. I used to sneak into the Miami Orange Bowl, like the UM games. So what I would do is like me and five other guys, right? We used to go and lift up this gate. Which was, you can lift it up. It used to be the rolled ones, but you can just lift it up, right? You can manhandle it. So you would manhandle it with four guys, and, you know, guys would sneak in and then hold it on the other side. And, well, I was the last guy. I was that guy. That was the last guy to go in, and I did not get in. Mm. It was, I'll never forget, Miami-Tennessee game, 1 o'clock game. And I got stuck on some shorts. And this dude is, like, running, just full-on sprint, security guard grabs me, and he's like, ah, you're going to jail. And I'm here like,
how old are you?
My dad's gonna kick my butt.
Like, you just want to go see Miami, Tennessee.
Yeah,
you're gonna go to jail.
I wanted to go see Cullen Winslow, Ken Dorsey go to work on these guys, right?
And you're
and
going
I'm
to
here
prison.
Like, I'm going to prison. That's what I thought.
That was a pretty good team. Like, that was like the McGahee team.
Yeah.
Like the
McGahee, Frank Gore. Yeah. Like, we had it all.
Yeah,
DJ Williams on the linebacker side. And it was like, just go get it, you know?
Well, Joe over here. Joe, say hi.
What's up, man?
I'm going to kind of revise this question because certainly Yonder's been to Chicago several times as a visiting player. But over the course of those visits, what is your favorite spot in Chicago, and have you been able to visit it since you've been back?
Favorite spot, like in what?
Restaurant.
Club,
thing to do.
Place, like somewhere you like to go when you know you're coming in town for a 3 or 4 game homestand. Visiting.
You know, I like to just walk. So I usually come with my family, my wife, and my son. Well, now this time around, my daughter will be here as well. So I just like to walk, like Michigan Ave and stuff. So I usually take them. I'll go to like the kids' stores and things like that, like the Mickey Mouse store or whatever. But yeah, that's what I pretty much like to do. I don't think people really realize. I wish they did more of like a background check on guys, like when they what they do in season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't get that much time. Like you wake up and you wake up at 10. Some guys sleep even more. I'll wake up at 10, have breakfast, and hang out. And then by like 12:30, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, like it's time to go to the ballpark and start studying and computers and seeing what's going on. Who do I face today? Who can come out of the pen? Go to the gym, work out, treatment, cage, all this stuff. So you don't really get that much time. It's not what you think where you show up at the park at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, all right, guys, we're here.
Game time.
I went to the Cheesecake Factory till 5. No.
There's a pretty good Cheesecake Factory. Do you go to Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah.
All right, so what do you like to
It's probably been a while, though. I'm guessing it's been a while since.
Hell no, man.
Come on.
What?
Especially, you can't get a bad meal there.
I'm just a dude.
I know. There's a good Cheesecake Factory on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, right by the hotel.
It's a Bible.
Because you guys usually stay at the West End as a visitor, right?
Dude.
Yeah?
I know my menus.
That's the biggest menu there is.
So where are you going? What are you going with?
I'll get a Cobb salad.
Okay. All right.
My wife really likes the avocado rolls.
I love it.
I do the chicken Madeira.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I've been there. I've been doing that for 15 years. Chicken Madeira, Cheesecake Factory. What cheesecake do you
Stallion.
Get?
Stallion. No cheesecake for me. My wife. Oreo cheesecake.
Oreo. Okay. That's kind of a two-for-one, really.
Not a big cheesecake guy.
Right? You could take one spoonful of
Oreo. Well, I've just been told we have to wrap it up. I think Cheesecake Factory wants some money.
I'm
hungry now talking Cheesecake Factory because – It's overwhelming, the Cheesecake Factory.
It is. I think I want to go there now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Yonder Alonso, fans, give it up. I think he's going to be fun.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Yonder, appreciate it. Great to meet you. We only brought up Manny's name six or seven times.
This was the Yonder, get to know the Yonder Alonso. Yeah, A plus pass.
So I'll be seeing you every day, man.
I know. So
work
good stuff.
Work your way up.
Well, thanks for listening to the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.